It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And today was the latest chapter in the ongoing saga of the attempt to eliminate cash bail in Illinois. This morning, the state Supreme Court heard arguments with regard to what supporters called the Pretrial Fairness Act. The law aimed to say people charged with a crime could no longer be held in jail because they or their families couldn't come up with cash to secure their release. Instead, a judge would make the call on who could be released and who would remain locked up while awaiting trial. This bail law was part of a broader package of legislation called the Safety Act, and it was signed into law in 2021 by Governor J.B. Pritzker. Backers say it's aimed at ending systemic racism in the criminal justice system, but critics have called it pro-criminal and anti-police. Prosecutors fought back against the law in court, with more than five dozen filing a lawsuit to prevent it from going into effect at the start of the year. They succeeded in convincing a judge in Kankakee County to rule that eliminating cash bail was unconstitutional, but that ruling only affected counties involved in the state's attorney's lawsuit. In response, the Illinois Supreme Court prevented the law from taking effect statewide until it was able to take on the case. And I think that pretty much catches us up to today. Joining us now to talk through all of this is Mawa Iqbal, who covers state government for public radio stations across Illinois. Mawa, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Also with us today is Anne Lucene, professor of Illinois Constitutional Law at the University of Illinois Chicago School of Law, formerly the John Marshall Law School. As a new lawyer, Professor Lucene was part of the team that helped write the Illinois Constitution back in the 1960s. She was also later the parliamentarian of the Illinois House of Representatives. Professor Lucene, welcome back to the 21st Show. And I think you might have your Zoom muted there. All right. Well, we'll try and work out the audio there. But Mawa, let me begin with you. What part of the law is the Illinois Supreme Court looking at today?
So they're only really looking at the one provision. It's called the Pretrial Fairness Act, which would effectively eliminate cash bail for all offenses, but it would still give judges discretion on, whether these people pose a safety risk to the community or their flight risk. And lawmakers have also outlined about a dozen or so forcible felonies. So charges like murder and sexual assault or armed robbery that a judge can still hold someone on.
Okay. So I want to begin digging into the arguments. We need to take a break in a couple of minutes here. The clock. But Professor Lucene, first there was the constitutional language around bond going back to the 1970 Constitution. What's at issue there?
Well, the difficulty is that in 1970, the only kind of bail most people knew about at ConCon was cash bail. The idea of people wearing ankle bracelets was brand new. And at that time, there were people who pointed out that in Illinois, we actually were quite progressive on bail. We had basically gotten rid of bail bondsmen with their horrible way of making money off people accused of crimes. So the feeling was leave well enough alone, and they didn't really make any real changes in the Illinois Constitution as it then was.
So what is that? How does that speak to what's being argued today in about a minute or so, if you can summarize it that way?
Well, a few people in 1970 raised the issue of whether this was properly an issue for the judiciary to figure out. And it was pointed out that there had been some statutes in 1963 and 1967 that the legislature had passed and the governors had signed concerning regulating bail. And nobody ever suggested that those were a violation of separation of powers. So I'm a little surprised that this issue has arisen now, because this brings into question all of the regulation of the legislature has put in regarding bail in the past.
Interesting. And that separation of powers is something we'll talk a little bit more about after the break. We actually have a little clip from the arguments this morning that addresses that point. And let me just remind listeners, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about an oral argument that happened at the Illinois Supreme Court in downtown Springfield this morning on the Safety Act, particularly the Pretrial Fairness Act, which would have eliminated cash bail at the beginning of this year, but for it was blocked by a judge in Kankakee County and then later the Illinois Supreme Court while it is weighing the constitutionality of that law. We're talking about this with Professor Ann Lucene from the University of Illinois Chicago Law School of Law and Mawa Iqbal, who is a reporter who covers state government for public radio stations across Illinois. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are talking about this morning's arguments at the Illinois Supreme Court on the Illinois law that was intended to eliminate cash bail at the beginning of the year. As we were saying, a lower court blocked that from going into effect in certain counties after a lawsuit filed by more than half of the state's attorneys in Illinois, half of the prosecutors in Illinois, brought this lawsuit to block this law from taking effect. And the Illinois Supreme Court stepped in to say, okay, we're going to pause this law statewide until they could hear arguments, which happened this morning. A number of notable people on both sides of this issue were at the arguments this morning. And we have tape of Attorney General Kwame Raoul.
Any layperson can sit and read the Constitution and know that sufficient sureties can refer to a wide range of things, and nothing in it says that you have to have cash bail.
We also, the argument was also attended by some of the people who oppose this law from taking effect, including Jim Glasgow, who is the prosecutor, the state's attorney in Will County, south of Chicago.
We want to join in the fight towards reforming bail. We realize that that's an absolute requirement, but there are also situations where the courts have to have the ability to control in cases of violence, and that's our main concern here.
Both of those sound bites were provided by Mawa Iqbal, who covers state government for public radio stations across Illinois and is with us today. Also with us is Ann Lucene, professor of law at the University of Illinois Chicago School of Law and an expert in the Illinois Constitution, in part because she was actually on the staff of the Constitutional Convention that drafted the Illinois Constitution of 1970. She was also later a House parliamentarian here in the state of Illinois. Mawa, what did you get? So we heard the tape from some of the people on opposite sides of this issue afterwards. Did any of them express confidence or resignation? How did they seem coming out of the courthouse about how things went for their sides today?
Yeah, I will say that if either two of them expressed any sort of emotion about how they felt and how the arguments went, I would say it was Attorney General Kwame Raoul. He mentioned actually that, you know, during his time as a lawyer, you know, he's picked up on reading body language and expressions from the judges, right, to see how they're responding to arguments and to see like who they feel like they would side most with. And he says he was, you know, reading the body language of some of the justices up there, and he said he felt particularly confident that they were siding with the defendants, with the appellees, especially on the basis of the constitutionality question. So talking about, you know, if getting rid of cash bail violates the state constitution. Didn't really get much as far as reactions from Jim Glasgow. He just was kind of saying, you know, like, we don't want to come off as we're trying to limit the legislature's power. We're all for, you know, bail reform, but we also, we're thinking about public safety here, and that's our main concern.
Interesting. So, Professor Lucene, I want to come back to, you mentioned this separation of powers argument. We have a little bit more tape on this from one of the arguments that happened today. This is Deputy Solicitor General Alex Hemmer, who was arguing in favor of upholding the law that would eliminate cash bail.
The legislature is charged with making big decisions about the way that things should operate in the state. And that is the kind of fundamental point here. The legislature has made exactly that decision about the way that people should be treated while they are pending trial and presumed innocent. There is nothing in the Constitution that prohibits that decision.
So, Professor Lucene, what do you think about that argument?
The words he uttered are absolutely correct. The problem is to which extent this actually impinges upon the court's authority, which is pretty much embodied in the rules of each court as to how they set bail. You know, in Cook County, we have been reforming our bail system and getting rid of an awful lot of cash bail over the last 3 or 4 years under the guidance of the chief judge. And so it becomes a very difficult issue. I wish they had cooperated together, both branches of government, and sat down around a table and figured out what they could do, but they didn't.
They didn't, and here we are fighting it out in court. You know, Professor Lucene, there was also some talk today about that section of the Constitution, and this is a newer section, that deals with the rights of crime victims. This is something that the voters of Illinois adopted, I can't remember the year now, it was within the last decade or so. Can you talk about how that's an issue here and how that may be a part of this case?
I don't think it is much of an issue. It's basically a notification provision whereby people who are victims of crime, as I have been, are supposedly entitled to get notification if any proceeding is going on regarding the charges against the person accused of harming them. So notification, fine.
Fine, yeah, okay. Well, and then Professor Lucene, I also heard Chief Justice Tice, Mary Jane Tice, asking some tough questions about the standing of the prosecutors to even challenge this law in court. Now, you know, without maybe going into as much detail as you might with your first year law students, can you just briefly explain what the standing issue could be about? I mean, could the justices toss this case without
standing
even...
Standing is a very complicated issue. It's a question of who can bring the litigation. And that has been a consistent problem all the way through this. Should it be the people who are accused of a crime and maybe denied bail who have the power to bring the litigation? Basically, I think they're going to end up saying the prosecutors can bring the lawsuit because the prosecutors need to know whether the statute is constitutional or unconstitutional before they proceed.
Interesting. So Mawa Iqbal, I asked you earlier about, you know, what your read was of Attorney General Raul and State's Attorney Glasgow after the arguments, and with all the usual caveats about the danger of overinterpreting how the justices maybe appear to react to arguments. I noted, as I mentioned, Chief Justice Tice asking some tough questions about standing. Did anything stand out to you about how the justices appeared to receive and question these arguments they were hearing today?
I was going to say, actually, yeah, that the Chief Justice Tice's line of questioning about standing James Roe was pretty interesting. I also thought it was interesting when they were questioning, I think it was Justice Cunningham, what was questioning the defendant side, just about like public policy, you know, because their main argument was that, you know, this in response to the separation of powers. And this is something that Professor Lucene had mentioned before the break, that the legislature has passed so many pretrial policies in the last 60 years. They said, quote, they have a concurrent constitutional authority to regulate pretrial procedure in Illinois, as it has done for six decades. So I thought that was pretty interesting. There also was an interesting line of questioning from justices when they had the Will County state's attorney or someone from Will County, I believe, like it was a third person who was testifying and they were talking about the 90-day provision. I thought that was pretty interesting too. But yeah, I think the most noteworthy was Justice Tice's questioning. She was very firm and making sure that the defense or the appellant side was able to establish that they have a standing or an inherent interest in the case because they're a sheriff and not involved in the courts as much.
Yeah, I guess just from a sort of superficial level, I've covered so many of these oral arguments at the Illinois Supreme Court over the years that I kind of have trained myself to kind of perk up when one of the justices appears to get passionate about something, as she appeared to be about this standing argument. We only have a few minutes left, but I think let's briefly try and work in a phone call at 800-222-9455. Paul in Urbana is calling on Line 1. Paul, thanks for calling in. Do you have a question about today's argument?
Good morning. I expect a very quick ratification of this by the court. I wanted to point out in all of the developments, the discussions, the forums, the activism, there was also a joint counsel of some kind between some representatives and members of the court or the court staff in developing this bill. So contrary to a lot of what you hear, it's been deliberated on. I'm looking at this headline. It's literally going to be the end of days when, just before the election, some right-wing news paper called the Shambana Sun tried to make this an electoral issue. It
certainly
wasn't. So I think we need to... well, anyway, I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Well, thanks for the call, Paul. We appreciate it. Yeah, and this is something we've talked about on the show. This was certainly politicized quite heavily before the election, in part by this network of these right-wing news sites that have risen up in communities that have seen a lot of disinvestment in their more traditional, trying to play it straight sort of newspapers. Pink slime is the word, but I don't know if we have time to really get into that discussion today. Professor Lucene, let me come back to you. I guess bottom line, if you were a justice on the Illinois Supreme Court, having considered all these arguments, what do you think? Do you think the Illinois Pretrial Fairness Act is constitutional?
There are many different parts of it. We're only really talking about bail. I would say if I were a justice, that the prosecutors have standing to bring the lawsuit. And I think I would, again, it's a question of certain details within the bail provisions, which have been changed, and those provisions have been changing a lot, so I'm not sure I have the most current version. By and large, I think it would be a valid exercise of power by the legislature. Whether it's a particularly good idea is another one. You know, constantly here in Cook County, we are changing our court rules regarding bail.
Yeah, and that is an interesting point. Of course, I think, the Democrats who passed this law would say the place to debate that is in the General Assembly, which they did, and where they have super majorities. Mawa, let me come to you. We heard Kankakee County State's Attorney Jim Rowe arguing for putting these changes before the voters as a constitutional amendment. I mean, in your coverage of this issue in the legislature, have you found any appetite for that among the people who pushed for this change?
I mean, not really. So it's kind of the belief that's held by proponents of the Safety Act that, you know, this doesn't violate the state constitution, right? So if it did, if they felt like, you know, they were making a giant change to the constitution, then they would be pushing, you know, like, let's put this to the vote. Let's have this be a referendum on a ballot during election season. But they believe, you know, like, this is something that, you know, we were elected to do. We were elected by voters to serve as members of the General Assembly. And here we are carrying out a duty as a body to pass laws. And so I think for people who are pushing this act, they really truly believe that in a sort of, I guess, roundabout way, that they are actually answering to what voters want.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Professor Lucene, just a sort of a procedural question from a Supreme Court procedural standpoint. What happens next? When might we know the outcome of this case?
If we are lucky, 3 weeks, but I doubt it very much. It will. These are very difficult issues. I have a feeling the court itself is going to be split six ways to Sunday, as the saying goes. So they're going to have to spend some time thinking about this one. My guess would be early May.
Interesting. All right. Well, it is something we will be watching for. Professor Ann Lucene is a professor of constitutional law, Illinois constitutional law expert at the University of Illinois Chicago School of Law. And Mawa Iqbal covers state government for public radio stations across Illinois. She reports from Springfield in the State House, based at the station WBEZ in Chicago. Mawa, Professor Lucene, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st show.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And one other programming note I do want to mention. Later this week, we're going to be trying something new on the program. Actually, it's coming up tomorrow. A listener feedback segment. We'd love to hear what you think about what we've been talking about. It could be today's show or any day in the recent past. You liked it, you didn't like it. If you think we got something factually wrong or, you know, whatever reason, leave us a voicemail. 217-300-2121 is the number. And you can call that anytime. It can be daytime, nighttime. It won't wake us up. It just goes to voicemail. 217-300-2121 is the number. You can also find that number and our email address and every other way to contact us on our website, 21stshow.org. I mentioned that's coming up on tomorrow's show. Also tomorrow, we are scheduled to bring you a conversation with former Illinois Congressman Rodney Davis. He lost the Republican primary last year to Congresswoman Mary Miller, and he is now taking a job with a lobbying firm in Washington, D.C. We're going to be talking with him about his exit from Congress and what he thinks of the current Republican House group and what's next for him. That's coming up tomorrow on The 21st Show. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our interns are Owen Henderson and Anaya Jones. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. You can visit our website, 21stshow.org, again, to find our email address, voicemail, Twitter, Facebook, every other way to contact us. It's all there. You can also find links to our past shows and our podcasts, or just seek us out on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Search for The 21st. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.